The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Israel is braced for a general strike. Protests are continuing over what's being seen as the government's failure to secure the release of hostages held by Hamas. Professor Paul Rogers, Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University, joins us now. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Anton.
Paul, these protests are designed and intended to put political pressure on Benjamin Netanyahu. To what extent will they achieve that?
It is very difficult to say. They're clearly going to be very large. The reaction to what happened over the weekend is very potent. And the Histadrut, which is the Israeli Federation of Trade Unions, has called this national strike, which it rarely does, except in cases of sort of almost national emergency. And it means that the country will fairly largely shut down, including the main airport. In terms of its impact, well, the problem is that Netanyahu is very resistant to change on this issue. He's determined to stay in power. He believes that he has enough support from Israelis generally in trying to defeat Hamas even now, even though he's unpopular in almost every other respect. And I think he will hang on. He will be supported by the more extreme parties in his coalition, and I don't think he will give way. But this is probably the highest pressure that he's come under. The problem for Netanyahu is that any kind of agreement with Hamas, even if it's a relatively short pause of about 3 months or even sort of 3 or 4 weeks, can be seen as a measure of failure, just as Hamas will say they are succeeding. So I think the reality is that though this is probably the biggest challenge he's faced, I think he will come through it. And the only thing that is likely to move Netanyahu is huge pressure from the international community, but especially the United States. And that isn't in the offing at present.
Is it your view, therefore, that the preconditions and amendments that he made to the proposed peace deal were designed to scupper the peace deal?
If not scupper, then certainly delay. It may be that what Netanyahu is interested in now is the timetable for the American presidential election. He may believe that if Trump was to get in, which is still probable, I think one has to say at the moment, although things are changing, if Trump gets in, then he'll have a much easier ride with the United States and will be able to do more or less what he wants in terms of destroying Hamas. The problem is, of course, that Hamas cannot be destroyed because it isn't. It's much more of an idea. And at present, because of the heavily increased violence in the West Bank, not least from the settlers, Hamas is actually growing in popularity among Palestinians, especially those in the West Bank. So from Netanyahu's perspective, he will carry on for as long as possible. But the odds are that only if there's a change in the United States will he, be able to get away with it.
Sorry to cut across you, Paul, just on that thing of the growing strength of Hamas. We've seen here over many decades and centuries how brutality from a foreign government can act as a recruitment campaign for those who wish to oppose it. I assume the same happens in Gaza, that young men watching this decide to sign up.
Well, all one can say is it would be extraordinary if they didn't. And that's the reality. I agree with you as far as Gaza is concerned, in spite of all the suffering and worries and concern and all the loss of life, over 40,000 people killed and what must be about 100,000 or more seriously injured. The reality is that what this is almost certainly going to be doing is increasing the support for Hamas among a generation of younger men. Basically youths, anybody from about 11 or 12 onwards right through to the early 20s, is much more likely to be supportive. And from that cohort, you will have further paramilitaries drawn. Almost certainly that is already happening now in the West Bank, particularly in the refugee camps, which one has to remember go right back to, or some of them go back to the War of Independence in 1948. And so you're dealing with a situation in which I think it would be correct to say that Israel is less secure now following Netanyahu's decision to go to war with Hamas in a conventional sense than it was before the terrible events of 7th of October. And the reality is, I think this is a disaster for Israel and its own security in the long term, just as it's an even greater disaster for the Palestinians.
And the objective of the protests, or the driving force for the protests, is it a humanitarian concern about what is occurring in Gaza? Or is it a belief that what is being done is counterproductive, that the hostages are being put at greater risk by virtue of military action than if there was a peace deal?
All the indications are that it is not a reaction to the humanitarian disaster in Gaza. As far as one can tell, looking at the work and analysis of very sharp but independent Israeli academics, you find that in reality, the situation in Israel is still strong support for the government on this issue. And most Israelis do not see very much of what is actually even happening in Gaza, let alone the West Bank. It's a country that does really look much more into itself, more so, I think, than in the past. Now, that does not exclude Israelis who hold a very different view, of which there are many. But the majority view actually is that Gaza is not that important. Much more important is what happened to the hostages and the fact that they are not being released.
Is there a belief that many of the hostages are still alive?
The assumption probably is that maybe half or more of them are still alive. I think it's really an unknown, and I'm not at all sure that even the intelligence agencies have a real pattern on this, because what appears to happen is that groups of hostages, or sometimes maybe even individuals, are held in different parts of Gaza as a whole, by no means all of them underground. And as far as we can tell, it may well be that even senior people within Hamas don't know how many of them are still alive. It's as brutal as that, I'm afraid.
The other thing that there has been domestic criticism of Netanyahu for was the actual original attacks on October 7th. Is there specific logic behind that, or is it simply that as head of government, this occurred on his watch, therefore he is culpable?
I think it is more the latter. I mean, one has to be careful here because you get all sorts of wild conspiracy theories coming through. The reality is that the Israelis really did think, including the IDF and the government, that the Gaza border was secure, that the way they had it handled, the way they had all the electronic stuff, they would know very well what was happening, and they didn't. It was a massive intelligence failure, in my view, of the order of the intelligence failure back at the Yom Kippur Ramadan War in 73. And I think this is why Netanyahu is still held responsible for that. And it's worth remembering that some quite senior people in the IDF, and certainly some people in the intelligence agencies, were prepared to take responsibility at the time and to accept they got it wrong, they misjudged it. It had been a standard example of what is known as stovepipe thinking, where you take a particular view and you inevitably concentrate on the evidence which supports that view. And the view was that Gaza was secure, and it was terribly wrong, as the Israelis found out.
We've spoken a lot about the hostages and the, whether it is a military strategy or a peace strategy to get them returned. A number of texts along the lines of this one asking, even if Netanyahu gets the hostages back, what's the ultimate end game? Just keep bombing a wasteland?
Well, we simply don't know. And of course, the point here is that if Netanyahu does get his way and the hostages are all given up, Hamas does not believe for a moment that that will give them sort of the occupation of Gaza back in their hands. They simply don't believe that Netanyahu can be trusted. And so this is why you would only get any sort of lasting ceasefire if there was some sort of independent actors involved, maybe some sort of UN force, but it would have to be pretty substantial, that it would be very difficult to do. But I think the point is that Hamas and most Palestinians do not believe Netanyahu. They do not believe for a minute that they can trust him. Whether they're right or wrong, who knows, but that is the position.
But even if that did occur, presumably, Paul, you put in the UN, they are there for perpetuity, that they are in perpetuity. The UN won't want to commit to that, will they?
They certainly won't. I mean, they're almost there in perpetuity in Lebanon, in Cyprus, and in other parts of the world. But on the other hand, who else is there? Because I don't think any kind of non-UN body would be acceptable to many elements in the international community.
Now, you talked about the international community and particularly the Americans' capacity to put pressure and how much of that hinges on the American election. Is it the election or is it when the new president takes power that matters from Netanyahu's perspective? Because obviously there is a long time between November and January.
I think, let's say, to take example, that Trump gets in legitimately and is going to take over in January. Once the election result is there, then Netanyahu will be work on the basis of how things will be implemented from late January. So I think the reality is that it's the result that counts as far as he is concerned.
Lastly, I heard analysis in relation to the strikes and protests saying that if it was a one-day thing, that Netanyahu would essentially be able to ignore it and move on, and that the question was whether or not it gains momentum and becomes a more consistent or more regular general strike action and ramps up the pressure. What's your prediction in respect of that?
Oh, I need to be on the ground in Israel to be far more knowledgeable about that. I think you're absolutely right, though, that it is a very clear marker. If this is a one-day demonstration strike with no more called, or if it continues for several days, then there's a very big difference there. So I think basically we have to watch this space over the next 12 hours.
Paul, as ever, thank you very much. That is Professor Paul Rogers, who is Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University. If you want to get in touch, 53106, that'll cost you 30 cent, or you can get in touch for free on WhatsApp 087 1400 106.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.